Today's reading is taken from Luke 1, 38 to 56. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be fruitful. Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. And Mary said, My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Thank you. So Lord, would you open our eyes, open our ears to hear your word and to accept your word in our lives this morning as I speak. Amen. In the Old Testament, the books of Samuel and Kings tell the story of David and his descendants. Those books are Samuel and Kings. It's a story of God's raising up of a humble man from humble origins to be king over all his people. And the story of God's big plan and God's kingdom coming. It's the story of God's promises to his people. And to David and his descendants, David, his chosen anointed one. And the gospel story that Luke tells us is in many ways, again, the same story, only more and greater and more fulfilled. The book of Samuel, it begins with a very personal story of a woman named Hannah who has no children, and of her joy when God does give her a child. In 1 Samuel 2, chapter 2, we get Hannah sings this song. 1 Samuel chapter 2, Hannah's song. Then Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high, my mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance, for the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who are full hire themselves out for food, but those who are hungry no more. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and makes them inherit a throne of honor. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed one. That was Hannah, the mother of the prophet Samuel, singing prophetically of the rise of King David, but singing about so much more as well at the same time, singing about God's much bigger plan, that it pointed to. Mary, nearly 1,000 years later, she would have known Hannah's song very well. And she took up the same themes and a lot of the same language as she sang her own very similar song that we've heard as part of our reading this morning. Not only is the song itself very similar, the context is very similar as well. Luke is retelling the same old story. He's beginning in a similar place as he starts to tell this big story of God at work and God's kingdom coming. He begins with a woman, Elizabeth, who, just like Hannah, was barren until God gave her a son who became a prophet, who made the way for God's anointed. Samuel anointed David in 1 Samuel. And John, in Luke's gospel, baptizes Jesus. It reminds us too of other small beginnings in the big story of the Old Testament too, because Elizabeth's story reminds us very strongly of the story of Sarah, who was barren and growing old before the child of promise came. And Mary as well. Who in the Old Testament is Mary named after? Where does Mary's name come from? Does anyone know? Same name in Hebrew. Miriam, yes, that's right, it was Miriam, sister of Moses. Miriam, of course, she sang a song towards the end of her story. She sang a song of deliverance after the Israelites came through the Red Sea. She sang, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, both horse and driver he is hurled into the sea." Because Miriam was there to see God's dramatic act of deliverance at the Red Sea, just like Mary, she did live to witness the climax of God's deliverance. She witnessed Jesus' resurrection. But Miriam is mainly remembered not for this song after the Red Sea, but Miriam is remembered for the crucial role that she had, if you remember the beginning of the book of Exodus, in caring for and rescuing the baby Moses. Making sure that he would be okay when he was a baby, and she was a girl at the very start of the Exodus story. And in the same way, Mary is remembered for bearing and raising Jesus. So let's have a look at Mary's song, the song she sang. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." So Mary, she's filled with joy. She rejoices at what she sees God has begun to do in her life, choosing her, showing her grace, special favor. He has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant, on this humble state of his servant. In other words, God has been delighted to choose Mary because she is lowly. Because she is just a poor girl who counted for very little by the world's standards. And so God delighted to choose her. "For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." And Mary, even though she has very little, even though very little has really happened yet to Mary in her story, she sings in the same way that Hannah sang at the beginning of 1 Samuel. She sang in confident faith that God's salvation had already been achieved. "The Mighty One has done great things for me. It surely will happen." And God has done great things not only for Mary. She sees that she's part of something much bigger that God's doing down through the generations, from generation to generation. This is not all about her. It's all about God. And just in these couple of verses of Mary's song here, she tells us three important things about God. God acts. God is holy. God is merciful. God acts. He has the power and the capacity to do great things in history through the people that he chooses. God is holy. Holy is his name. No power can compare with him. And God is merciful. Mercy is for those who fear him, who have faith in him and respond rightly to him. We see it in Mary, someone who fears God in one sense, and yet who in another sense is completely unafraid of God. She trusts completely in God's goodness. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. This is a picture of a God who loves to turn the world upside down and to upset the inequalities that we humans produce in our societies. And this is very political stuff here, isn't it? Very subversive, very dangerous. It's funny, I think back to when I was 9 or 10 years old, and I used to sing in Bangor Cathedral Choir for a couple of years. And I went there like 6 times a week. It was pretty intense for all the rehearsals and services. And this song of Mary, which is the Magnificat, it's called, we'd sing the Magnificat pretty much every communion service that we did. And so I used to sing these words at least once every week in different musical settings. But I was interested to learn that back in the 17th and 18th centuries, there were kings and queens all over Europe would actually ban the Magnificat, this song, from being sung in churches. The singing of the Magnificat in churches was banned in many churches across all of Europe by the monarchies of their day, because they saw how dangerous and subversive it was. They didn't want people singing this. They didn't want their power to be threatened in that way. Now, this isn't necessarily about political revolution in the way we think of it. No political government is ever perfect, but one that isn't too bad will provide a measure of justice that we need that will stop our life becoming unbearable and chaotic. But it is a very difficult balance, and Jesus, he showed a radical and different way to overturn inequalities. He taught his disciples if they wanted to be great, they should become a servant like he did. If you think through the story of Jesus and what he taught, think about Barabbas. Violent revolutionaries like Barabbas would not succeed. Jesus died in his place in the story. Think too about the rich young ruler. If you think about me, or Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, rich people like Zacchaeus in the story, they gave their money away. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. You think so also too, that line there, he sent the rich away empty, that reminds me of the story of the rich young ruler who he had it all. What could Jesus offer him? It's the big story of Jesus turns the world upside down. Mary, in her song here, wants God's will to be done. She doesn't want proud and oppressive people to be in authority, to be in charge. She wants humble people to be lifted up, ordinary people. These are the kinds of people that God really wants to use for his kingdom purposes. The people Jesus talks about in the Beatitudes, the people God wants to use in response to our prayers, are not the rich, but the poor in spirit. They're not those who see it all as a big gain, but they're those who mourn, who know what it is to know mourning and distress. They're not the rich, but they're not the rich with the poor of spirit. They're not the powerful, but the meek. They're not the hungry. They're not those who are hungry for money and power, but those who are hungry for hunger and thirst for righteousness. They're not tyrants, but they're merciful, the merciful. Not the corrupt, but the pure in heart. Not warmongers, but peacemakers. And they may be ordinary people like Mary and Elizabeth. We need to pray for God to use these people to bring his kingdom. That's what it's all about. When we look at the ending of Mary's song. He's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. God's big story, his chosen people, his promises to Abraham and to David and to all the people of Israel whom he chose. God is faithful to his people, and the story is now coming to its fulfillment through Mary's child. God's big story. And yet this isn't all about politics and revolution and big issues. Yes, this story of Jesus will reach out to change the whole world in time, but it begins here very simply and very personally with the story of Mary. That's what we focus on here. The story we have here is one we can all relate to. It's a very personal story. It's a story of two pregnant women meeting together, sharing their stories, staying together for about 3 months, and then Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. We read the story of what they did together, how they shared the time together, how they saw in each other what God was doing and were encouraged. The story of Mary and Elizabeth is a very intimate one, but it's about a genuine connection between two pregnant women. God is using both of them in his purposes, but in meeting together, they each see that they're part of something much bigger that God's doing. And out of that flows this song of joy and rejoicing. That's exactly what inspires Mary's song. On their own, both Mary and Elizabeth, they were kind of on their own. They didn't have that connection. They didn't have that community. Isolation is not good for encouraging faith in people. We've seen a lot of that over the past couple of years, how hard it makes it to be on our own, to be isolated. But this lovely story of Mary and Elizabeth coming together, and the laughter in the story, the astonishment and the singing. It's a beautiful story. So the Christmas story, the way Luke tells it at least, begins not with lots of dramatic frenzy and excitement and upheaval, but with a story of two women sitting together, encouraging each other, spending time together, sharing their faith, recognizing that they're part of something bigger, and singing praise to God for what he's doing. We do all need to learn to connect more deeply and more genuinely with other people on our faith journeys, because this is it's about something much bigger than any one of us. It's not just about me and Jesus. We're all part of God's big plan. Can we sit together and listen to one another like Elizabeth and Mary in this story? Can we share laughter together, sing together, be amazed together like they were in this story? And if we can manage it, it may be a much better way to prepare for Christmas than our constant rushing and going to and fro and forgetting things, and that it's the constant frenzy that tends to be the way we get ready for Christmas. If we are God's people, then our hope includes God using us for his purposes. God who is good, God who is holy, God who is faithful and merciful. He's ready to act. He wants to use ordinary and humble people to do great things in this dark world that we live in. And the world back then may not have thought that these two women were important. Our world today may not think that we Christians are important, but as God works in our lives, the stories that we share together still could change the world. Let's pray. Lord God, we remember your big story. and we remember small stories like Mary and Elizabeth's story, Mary's song, her song of joy. Help us all amidst the busyness of getting ready for Christmas, and to help us to be attentive to each other and to what you're doing amongst us, and how you want to use ordinary people like us to bring your kingdom here. In Jesus' name, amen.